Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And you know what? People really liked it when we recommended that Lumi deodorant.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I just thought I'd say, like, one other thing that ZD and I... No, you don't use the Lumi like I do, but ZD and I are huge, huge fans of the colloidal pimple dots.
Pimple dots.
Just so...
Well, because you can use them not just on pimples.
Yeah.
Like, I use them on mosquito bites.
I just wanted to put this out because a friend of mine on Facebook was like, has anyone ever tried these? And I was like,
oh,
I
my
need
God.
To spread the good
oh,
word.
No. Okay, like we live by them.
We're wearing... How many pimple dots are on
I
my face
right
now?
Now but usually I have one or two on. But no, like, honestly, I get mosquito bites really, really bad.
Yeah.
Okay? And they will, like, suck, you know,
the stuff
the fluid
out. So what,
out.
Just
right.
Real quick, we're going to keep this under 2 minutes, and we're not getting paid for this at all. But, like, when you buy the colloidal ones, I'm not talking about the ones of, like, salicylic acid. I'm not, I don't.
No, no, no.
That's
and
not
then,
what
and
we're
then
talking about.
The colloidal ones also sometimes have.
Tea tree oil.
And actually, I got some of those accidentally.
Did you like them?
They didn't bother me.
Nothing.
Yeah, I didn't
notice
anything.
No, so just like the colloidal ones, what they do is for different types of blemishes, you know, we all get different types and different times.
Right.
They just like keep it wet.
Right. They allow it to heal. And
yeah.
Actually, first thing that I knew, my experience with colloidal dressings, okay.
Yeah, you like
were
real
bed sores.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is they keep the tissue soft and they allow it to heal. And if you know any dermatologists personally, they will tell you one of their favorite things in the whole world for healing, you know, letting something heal is Vaseline because it
keeps
the tissue soft.
Yeah.
Right?
So these like it keeps it soft. So if you're somebody who gets like a pimple or a blemish and it'll scab and then it, like
right.
breaks open again, so it doesn't break open. This just like keeps that stuff kind of flowing. And yeah, it's just changed my life on
well,
some of the types of pimples I get.
It's like the same thing with the mosquito bites. And what
uh-huh.
it also does, it stops the itch.
Oh, you know, I've never used them on a mosquito
well, yeah,
bite.
Yeah, but I have mosquito
you,
bites. Like,
you
I
get
have
them.
I get the most horrendous.
I don't have that experience.
I have some
yeah.
bizarre reaction to mosquito
okay.
bites.
So that we're under 230
so pimple,
here.
So pimple dots,
colloidal ones. I'm just gonna we're gonna segue with
it's worth it's worth the investment for you to try them once.
Yeah, here. We're gonna segue here. Come on, Destiny. I don't know. If
can you hear the music?
If they're gonna be able to hear the music,
you can turn it up.
Bing,
you know.
Bing, bing. Yeah, I know because I've turned it down. Okay, we're gonna talk about sewing now. If you could hear that. Faint. I think they could hear the needle bar moving.
Yeah, I hear that.
Better than the music. If you could hear that faint music, that was me turning on our sewing machine here. We've got one that sings to us. And we're continuing our basic skills for sewing sort of series with we're combining it with another question that I think Colette asked in the group. And this isn't something we've gone into a ton. And it's something that I would spend a lot of time on in the sit-down deliveries. We
right.
would.
Well, and it's
and in guide
and,
class.
And this is, you know, the last time in this series what we talked about was Know Your Machine.
Know Your Machine,
and
yeah.
And this is kind of a good segue to that because this is know what stitches are on
yeah.
your machine and what they do. You know, why are these stitches there? Why, you know, I know people that would buy a machine that maybe only had 12 stitches on it, and they'd use a straight stitch.
Just one stitch.
They'd never
yep.
use anything else.
Well,
you know, and they'd come in and say, I'm having trouble doing this. And I would go, well, we need to go to this stretch stitch. And they'd go,
oh, my gosh.
So that's why that's there. And I'm like, yeah.
So you know. A straight stitch can get you pretty far.
Right. I mean,
you know,
for years, that's all we
for,
had.
For yeah. It can get you pretty far
for
in a
decades,
lot of...
decades, that was all that was there.
In a lot of contexts, but it's also nice. Most machines out there now are going to have some more, you know, stitches on them. And I thought we could talk about, okay, this stitch could be on your machine. Why is it called this and what makes it function in that way.
Right.
You know, what about the stitch?
Why does the movement or the shape of the stitch, does that work?
Why does it work? Why is it recommended? Why is it called a this or that? You know, so yeah, I hope you stuck around for the highly technical sewing talk. So I'm just looking at the screen of our Destiny right now. And actually, the Destiny starts off its stitch library.
Well, yeah, with like six straight stitches.
It's only four, okay? But yes, there's four.
Sure?
I am. The next one is the triple straight stitch, okay?
Oh, okay.
So you were real close. I would have guessed that too. Okay. So yeah, the Destiny starts off with these four straight stitches.
Then honestly, it's exactly the same straight stitch. It's just that their securing function or their securing what characteristic
it's called,
or what is it called.
Let me tell you what it's called.
Okay.
I think it's called I'm not unsure myself. I think it's called the back stitch priority is the technical name for this thing.
Oh, okay.
So what CD's talking about is if you have one of these fancy schmancy machines with like all these options on here, is there are two, so the reason there's four straight stitches, there's two straight stitch left stitches.
Right.
One of
them,
there you go. One of them, when you push the back stitch button,
you get a securing.
Well, hold on. You get like a traditional backstitch behavior where the machine starts to move the fabric and stitch backwards.
So that's your securing stitch for that particular stitch choice.
Now, the second one, which is stitch 1-02, the first one we're talking about is stitch 1-01, stitch 1-02. It has like a little dot at the beginning instead of a little dash next to it. And so what it's going to do when you push the back stitch button on the Destiny is it's going to stitch in place.
Right. So
okay,
that's the other secure. Cool. Now, Mallory's saying it's, you know, stitch.
I think that's what it's called.
Stitch, you know, 01-1 or whatever. Your machine might not particularly code it that way.
Your machine might have like one number, you know. And then your machine, if it's a little more basic model and just... Okay, I love the Destiny, right? But, like, I'm also making fun of it a little bit. it's a little overkill because what I want to bring up next is the next two stitches are straight stitches center.
Right.
Okay, and then the same thing. There's one with the backstitch priority and the that is the backstitch and one that's the securing stitch.
And the reason that happened was Baby Lock always had a left-handed stitch as its straight stitch. And actually, the public sort of, you know, demanded.
No matter how hard we tried to defend it. Actually, I didn't like it at first, too. After it was explained to me, I liked it better. But, you know, it's hard to convert people. So what I want to bring up is the Destiny has four stitches here. However, even if you have one of the most basic machines, you probably actually have the ability to have these stitches.
Right.
Okay? You can probably, in some way, shape, or form, change your needle position. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe not. Maybe
well,
not.
If
you know.
If you have it. Yes. More than likely, you can change your needle position.
Somehow, some way.
There are some really basic machines that you can't.
Yes. Now, here's another thing. This is another kind of complicating factor. There's two ways that a stitch width selector can behave on a sewing machine, okay? In Baby Lock land, it really depends on the model. On some of the digital machines, if you change the stitch width of a straight stitch, it will move the needle. And it will remain
a straight
stitch. And it will
only move the needle, right.
Now, on more basic machines, if you have a straight stitch and you change the width, what do you get?
You get a zigzag.
That's right.
So it's just a more sophisticated machine, okay? It's just the way
it works.
Right.
I don't even know if it's like necessarily more sophisticated because on some of the Berninas, even the more advanced ones, you choose a straight stitch and if you change the width, you get a zigzag. Reason being, there is a needle position button as well that can change the position of the stitch. So you need to know how your stitch width dial or button or whatever behaves.
Right.
It could do either one of those things when you have a straight stitch selected. Okay.
Right.
But yeah, the more basic functionality probably would be that it changes.
And this
it to
is
a
the
zigzag.
Part where your machine comes in that we talked about in the last episode And this should be in your owner's manual. And if you bought your machine at a dealership, they should have had classes that taught you this.
Well, the reason you want to like read your owner's manual and stuff is because you'll pick a stitch and you're like, why won't this freaking stitch go backwards?
Right.
And you didn't know, oh, that because I had that dot at the beginning. Or
right.
Or I've got this setting. Man, and well, this is a little bit of a segue, but the Destiny was malfunctioning for me. And it ended up being operator error.
Of course.
Of course, right? But
most of the time,
at first, you know, I was like, this must be the machine. Anyway, I'll talk about that in another episode. So we've been talking for like 10 minutes about two stitches, basically, the straight stitch. And so when you see a machine, you're like, why does this machine have 300 stitches? Why does this machine have 2,500 stitches? Some of that, it's like the engineers are trying to make it easier. Like where someone can just go, poof, it's in the center.
Right.
Instead of, okay, now I need to change my stitch width to like, you know, 2.5 or right. Now I set this and that. It's a convenience thing.
It is.
You know, so, and that can be nice.
And the capability is there to do it now, too. The technology is there. I mean, it's just there. The computer chips.
Yeah, once you've got a computer board in there of the age, you know, of the, you know, 2020s.
Right.
I mean, probably stitch. I mean, I wonder how much like data a stitch takes up and how much memory, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I can tell you from 25 years ago to now, the difference is amazing.
Sure, exactly.
You know, because, you know, we were told when 25, 30 years ago, well, you know, this is only how much it can hold.
Yeah.
And they actually had ways where you could take stitches out and put other stitches in.
Because there was a limit.
Because there was a limited memory. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, and you do have a memory in here, like you can save certain stitches.
Right. I'm talking about total machine memory.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. Straight stitches. Okay. The next stitch that maybe almost everybody would have on their machine is the triple straight stitch.
Right.
Now, how this might come to you on a more basic machine is that stretch stitch
right
function,
and how
right?
it may look mm-hmm. its icon will be like three rows of straight stitches right next to each other, like one, two, three,
like three hash marks and then three hash marks and then going down
so
a column.
So yeah, it's there's three columns of stitches in the icon. The thing is it doesn't stitch that way. They stitch on top of
it
themselves.
It is
a one row stitch. It stays in one row, and it stitches. Each stitch is done three times. And the way it's done is it goes, you know, one, two, three stitch, and then back two stitch, and then one, two.
How does it do it? I think the first stitch on a triple straight stitch doesn't get the triple treatment.
That's right.
Okay.
That's correct.
So it goes forward, forward, back, forward, forward. Back, forward. That would give it three.
Right.
So, yes, that would give it three passes. So it's like your first one. So, okay, this gets categorized as a straight stitch. On your basic machines, you may have a dial, and it's like, I think on one of the more basic baby locks, the straight stitch would have been in like a dark, in like a black. The icon for it was black, and then the stretch stitch, the triple stitch was like in yellow.
Right.
And you had some selector.
Sometimes, you know, it's like, they're blue and red.
Yeah.
You know.
But they're kind of.
Or sometimes the stretch stitch has an S in front
of it. Yeah, SS. Uh-huh. But you'll have those on the same selector. And then elsewhere on the machine, you've chosen, hey, I'm choosing stretch stitches or I'm not. You know,
So on a mechanical machine, mm-hmm. you may have to do two different dials, you know, to get there.
Yeah. So this is a stretch stitch. And I never use it on stretchy stuff. Do you use it on stretchy stuff?
Yeah, I have.
I don't like it.
I really use it mostly to hem jeans.
Yes, it's our jeans hemming stitch.
It's our jeans hemming stitch, and we can use embroidery thread, which means we can get any color you want.
Yeah.
And it mocks a top stitch with heavy jeans type thread, with top stitch thread.
This is on.
Because you've got three threads showing.
We've done a podcast and a video on this, on how we hem jeans. And so you can see that we lengthen this stitch.
Well, and the thing mm-hmm. is jeans are stretchy now.
Well, yeah.
You know,
okay. But I mean,
funny.
Like, if I'm going to go hem a knit top on my sewing machine,
right?
I actually don't like this stitch. I think that it can get really dense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it
I
can
do
be,
too.
You know what? Even if it makes a good seam and all that,
right.
I don't want to take this stitch out.
That's
of
true.
A knit.
That's real true.
No, that's actually my main
right.
complaint about it, is not so much it doesn't function well,
right.
but if I had to take it out, I would just want to poke my eye out with
a
seam ripper.
I have definitely used it more in wovens.
Now, something that we haven't talked about a whole lot, which I think we should before we move on to some of our zigzaggery stitches, is default settings. For
mm-hmm.
these stitches.
Right.
I know we've mentioned these in passing a lot because what are we always telling y'all to do? To try if you're having trouble with things, right? What are we always telling them to do, Mom?
Change your stitch length.
Lengthen their, yep,
right.
yep, lengthen their stitch maybe. So on all, so this is five stitches across here. We've gotten through five stitches, which are actually only two stitches.
And the machine has like 150 or something.
No, Mom. I mean, this... I'll have to look at the brochure. It's
right.
got like,
thousands.
It's a thousand something. Yeah.
Well, no,
yeah.
they're numbered a thousand, but I don't think there is
oh,
a
no,
thousand.
Oh, no, I think there are.
Oh, no.
Yes, I'll look.
Really?
I'll have to look. Okay.
No, there's not.
Well, it's because they like count
that.
All the letters of the alphabet
oh,
as
yeah.
a stitch
well,
and
right.
stuff. Yeah,
right. Okay, true. And there, so there you've got like, you know, 52 already.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Ta-da. Oh, well, and there's, no, there's
oh,
like.
Oh, and then there's the punctuation marks.
Yeah. right, right. And there's like seven alphabets around here and stuff. One, two, three, four. Oh, there's only five alphabets. Sorry. Okay. So, anywho.
We'd like to exaggerate by two.
Anywhoozle.
Well, okay. Stop.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to give a note here.
Fine.
Okay. A little asterisk. And because I think a lot of people might be in this position. So, I am not anymore. But. I used to be in my car a lot and drive people around a lot and sit in front of schools and, you know, wait for people for music lessons and dance lessons. And I would take my owner's manual with me, and that's what I would read. Okay? Even if, you know, it wasn't the part of the machine that I was using, but it familiarized me, and even if I didn't really remember it, I knew it was in that manual.
Okay.
And I knew I could go back to it.
People are going to want us to read their owner's manuals so they can listen to them in the car as a podcast.
Oh.
Look, audiobook.
You could do that.
Audiobook version
yep, you
of your owner's manual.
You could do that.
You can order that from me and ZD. The Destiny owner's manual is like, there's three of them, first of all.
Right. But
okay.
I would thumb, you know. I wouldn't even
read
them in order if I didn't want to. If I thought, I'd think, oh, I wonder if this machine would do this. And I would look up to see, or I would read the table of contents and go, huh, I think I'll read about that while I sit here and wait for Mallory. For the 584th time coming out of some lesson
for her
of hers.
16th lesson of the
yeah,
week.
Whatever.
Which, aren't you glad? I'm so glad you drove me to all those lessons.
Yes.
I hope you're glad too. Yeah, so that's a really good point, especially if you get a newer machine. And a few of you have upgraded recently. You've like asked us about
uh-huh.
doing it. I mean, people are probably
right.
upgrading all the time. But
if you get an old machine, read that manual too.
Well, that's true too. But I remember learning, we had to learn about a ton of new machines.
Mm-hmm.
And I would look at the owner's manual and learn something.
Right.
You know, even though I'd been sewing for a long time. And like you said, knowing the subtlety of your machine is what's going to make you successful as you're sewing your stuff.
Or
right?
every once in a while, it would be funny. Mallory would say, how did you do that? And it would be like, I did something and she didn't know the machine did it. Or, you know,
he says that to me
or
too
she,
sometimes.
Right. Or
just
she,
so you know.
I was just going to say, or I'll say, what are you doing? And she'd say, I'm doing blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what?
How do you
and
do
I'm
that?
Like, show me that again. You know, and here, you know, we're supposed to be like the experts. Well,
you're always learning. That's
well,
important.
Here's the deal. I used to be an expert on machines I sold that only had, you know, 20 stitches.
Right.
I knew them inside out, backwards, whatever. I even made stuff up you could do on them that, you know, wasn't in the manual. But anymore, you could have a machine for several years and not know everything it did.
That's right.
Right.
And, you know, there are teams of people creating new things for these
right.
machines all the time. So, yeah, let's take a break real quick and talk about default settings. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your thigh.
Or your head.
Or your head. Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure from the zero end.
Yes.
Right. Right. And I said 60, but you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So
yeah.
you've got...
you have imperial, and you have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself, and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or
right?
a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that. Where
fabulous.
You want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What are the colors?
Mom, we're back. We're back. So I want to talk a little bit about default settings and how these can work on some different levels of machines.
Default settings, I guess, you know, they can also be referred to as factory settings. You'll hear that too.
Factory settings. Okay. Right. So default settings on stitches will be implemented in a few different ways. If you have a very basic machine, you will need to look at your owner's manual every time you change a stitch. It'll be like, oh, you want to do a straight stitch? You have to set the dial to stitch A, and you have to set the width to this, and you have to set the length to this. And then you are getting the straight stitch that we have tested this machine for, basically. Right.
Right. And you'd have to know the position of your feed dogs. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
And you got to take your needle up out of the fabric. Otherwise, you could break it. Right. Now, really, when you get up just a couple of steps, you get to push a button. You get to just turn a dial, you know, or something like that. And those settings will be set for you. This is, I think it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing, because it's good to know, it's good to be aware, okay, when I pick a straight stitch, the length is 2.5 millimeters, okay? It's good for you to have that in mind.
Right.
Like, look at it. You know, if you've never looked at it before,
And your manual, if you are on a manual machine, your manual will say that also.
Yeah. So, you know, take a look at that. Make sure that you know what that is, because as ZD and I say a lot on this podcast, when you're sewing on something thicker, or when you're sewing on something that doesn't want to feed very well, or
sometimes it's just the fabric, like a knit.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't get those stitches too close on a knit sometimes.
Yes.
Because the feed dogs will eat it.
Yeah. So
it won't feed. Yeah.
You're asking, so what you were asking for, you were telling it, hey, I want the stitch to be 2.5. But if the fabric's not feeding nicely for you, bumping that up to a 3 even
and
can be helpful.
When you bump it up, you might not get a 3. You might actually be
then getting
a 2.5.
Right.
So what it's doing is, you know, just can't grab as well.
Right. So keep that in mind.
Or it is going up, and you need that for the fabric. You need that stitch to be spaced that well.
Yeah, you need the space between the needle penetrations, right, to make that longer stitch. So just changing the stitch length isn't something that will, quote unquote, like hurt anything if you're just testing. You may need to be careful about the width, depending on your machine, because there are machines where you can, like, if you've set the needle to go over to the left and then you've changed the width and your machine doesn't have like some sort of governor on it, you can, that's where you can mess things up a little bit. Now,
because you will be stitching into like your presser foot or your throat plate or whatever. Yes.
So if you have a machine like that, you need to test, you need to like use your hand wheel to walk through a stitch or two to make sure that you're not hitting anything.
Or if you put a different foot on.
Uh-huh. Or you forgot you have your straight stitch plate on or something like that. You know, you need to be careful about that. So play with that width. Look at the default settings, because here's how I can find something out about my machine. What I was saying before the break about how the width selector can work on different machines. When I pick the straight stitch to the left on the baby lock.
Right.
It says my width is 0.
Right.
And when I pick the straight stitch in the middle, it says my width is 3.5.
And what it's really doing is telling you the position of your needle and not the width.
That's
because
right.
Because it does not change it to a zigzag.
It's like,
so the entire width of this machine's its swing, right, on the stitch length is 7 millimeters.
That's correct.
So when Mallory picks it in the middle, it says 3.5. So it's really telling you the position within that 7 millimeter range.
Yeah, it's like there's a number line that starts at 0.
Right.
And goes up to 7.
And that would be to the left, just like you read, and go to the right.
Right. Positive numbers to the left. Positive numbers to the right. There are no negative numbers on this machine. However, I think maybe I have seen a machine where the center is 0. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, it's negative and positive.
Oh, okay.
I think I've seen
that.
Did I make that up?
I don't know. I could go for that.
But
well, you know, I'm thinking of the Berninas used, you know, the early electronic ones, they had that stitch position, and it would be like the middle was 0. It didn't say that, though.
Didn't say anything,
it was
though.
Just the position was, you know, in the middle, and then you press the button to the left or press the button to the right to move it.
Okay, so a little more thoroughness here. I'm just telling you to explore all the functions of your machine, okay? So Baby Lock has this width selector, and I've chosen straight stitch left. I'm on 0. If I do plus on the width, it goes up by 0.5 millimeters each time.
Right.
So that would equal, does that equal 14?
14 positions.
Okay.
Or 15.
14 with the
14
width.
15 positions if you have a 0.
Yeah, but there's nothing at Is that right? I'm sorry. I'm not.
Wait.
No, it's just 14. 0.51, 1.52. 2.53, 3.54, 4.55, 5.5. Yeah, there's no 7.5. Right, okay. There's.
Yeah.
But get this. And I don't even know if I like think this is a great idea. There's another button on this machine that says left, right, shift.
Right.
Okay. And it. Okay, hold on. Let me see if I know this works. Yep. Okay. Guess what it does? It will move your stitch in increments of 0.25 millimeters to the right or left of your initial selected stitch position. So this works. This is like it gets relative. Right. All right. So if I'm all the way over to the left and I push the plus on left, right shift, 0.25, 0.5, 0.75, 1, 1.25, et cetera, so how many stitch positions?
Okay, I can't even 28? See that well.
That's like 28 stitch positions, right? As needle positions. However, I just want to tell you this just so you know that things can get weird. If I select the center straight stitch, then if I push plus, I go to the right.
Right.
And if I push negative, I go to the left. And then I do get negative numbers. I'm -1 millimeter from the center.
Does it say that?
Yeah, it's negative.
I didn't know it said
no,
negative.
It's like relative. Okay, so it like makes a new number line depending on the initial stitch you've picked.
It doesn't say negative on there.
Yes,
though.
It does. There is a little freaking minus right there, Mom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So when I pick.
Okay, I had to
I'm telling you.
I had to tell you.
There's some math
need
going on here.
5 going on.
It's 28 stitch positions.
I just don't know if I need that. But
well,
there must be a reason.
I must.
There must be a reason.
Okay, here's the deal. You don't need 28 probably, but you do need a skosh relative to whatever you've picked.
Sometimes.
You know, you're like, can I just move it over a little bit?
Yep, okay, well, you know.
So,
and then you need to write this down or take a picture of it on your cell phone so you know where it is.
Okay.
So that if you, you know,
if you
need
have
to
a,
repeat it.
If you have
right?
a machine with 28 stitch positions, it has a place for memory.
Well, you can put it in the memory also.
And you know what? The memory used to be a floppy disk, and then it was a pocket.
Right.
Now it just says memory. Right. I think they're trying to make it future-proof.
I think you can put it on it.
It just says...
I think you can put it on a thumb drive.
On a thumb drive, yeah. Okay. Talking to your microphone.
I think you can still put it on a thumb drive.
Yeah. ZD's talking all quiet right now. I guess this just goes to show you, there can be a lot of things to your machine. There just can be, okay? So,
and
heads up.
Okay, so here's the deal. If I got this machine and it was brand new and I just learned that, like, because today...
Because Mallory told you that or something?
Yeah. Okay, I go, why do I need that? But at least I know it's there. I might not need to investigate it. I might not need to check it out. I might not need to do something and stitch it out. But I know it's there. And there may come a day I need that.
Well, and it may not even be that you know it's there. It's that later in the future, you'll have this shadow of an idea that you should look something up about left
right. Right.
I should look that up.
Right.
I thought maybe that would have been useful maybe at some point.
Right.
I'm not guaranteeing. You know, when I did a sit-down delivery, I had to be careful about how much detail I went into.
You do. You need to, you know, a lot of times when we would deliver a machine, and I think this goes with the question of what do you need to learn and how do you need to learn it and, you know, what on your timeline where or whatever, I would say to someone, and what do you want to be able to sew when you get home?
Right.
Because there's no way in an hour or an hour and a half I could sit down and show them absolutely. Like, a lot of times I didn't show somebody a buttonhole.
Yeah.
Especially if, like, they were a quilter.
Like,
I would look at them and I'd go, are you going to be doing a buttonhole before you come, you know, to guide class? Oh, no. I'll never do a buttonhole in my life. I'm like, I'm not going to show
but
you
I
that
But I really
today.
Need to know how to do such
right.
and
I'm
such.
I'm not
yeah.
going to show you that mm-hmm. today, mm-hmm. you know, but. I will show you that anytime you want.
Right.
And you'll also learn that in guide class. But so, you know, if you don't need to know how to do a buttonhole right away, don't do it. You know, learn the other stuff that you want to learn.
Right. So, yeah, there can be a lot of subtlety to your stitches, to their default settings, to how you can change them. And it is good to get that a little bit under your belt, to get those concepts under your belt. Now, we're we're kind of going long here. I think maybe we can talk about
28 positions long.
Yeah, 20. Yeah. I think we've had 28 positions in this podcast.
My God, you'd have to talk a long time if you had 28 positions for
okay,
your
Okay, we're going to come back and we're going to go through some of these. You know, people keep asking about obscure serger stitches. And I'm like, hold up. Do you know about the
obscure? Sergers are not obscure at all.
Do you know about
They're
the
easy?
Well, we've done an episode on obscure sergers, and I'm like, have you seen the obscure stitches on your sewing machine?
Right.
Like, because they are weird. There are some of them. I'm like, what the hell is
this?
So, let's stop.
Well, I think some of those stitches, mm-hmm. okay, are on there, and in a sense, they're antiquated on the sewing machine because there are sergers.
I agree sometimes. Absolutely.
What I'm saying is we didn't have a serger. So we had a stitch that I call the girdle stitch, and it's actually the honeycomb stitch. But I called it the girdle stitch because that's how you would put, like, girdle fabric together.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it still stretched, and it was
yes.
very strong. Mm-hmm. And
welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing out loud.
You know, it was like reinforced itself.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know.
Yeah, so
I don't use it now.
So just so you're aware, go dig in. Go dive in and make sure you're aware of how all the dials on your machine affect how the needle moves mm-hmm. positions between stitches, how it moves after you've changed it, like how it stitches out,
right.
so that you can, you know, leverage that to your advantage in the future. And then I think next time, let's go into some of these. Okay, so I click on this and I get stem stitch, zigzag, two-step elastic zigzag, three-step elastic zigzag, overcast stitch. Oh, there are two different stitches called overcast. There are. Excuse me. One, two, three.
Right. Okay. And what
four,
I want to say is on the first electronic machine.
Six.
Right?
Seven.
You only had one overcast stitch.
There are seven stitches. They shouldn't call them all that. They should come up with some different. They should have some dignity here. Like,
well, they're called overcast stitch because they go over the edge of the
they
fabric.
They do. No, you're totally right. You're totally
well,
right.
And I'm the just, other thing we have not I'm hit on really a, here yet is when you use a certain stitch, do you need to change your presser foot?
Yeah, well, I think we're
right.
going to get there this next
right.
time. In the next 30 minutes, we'll talk about two more stitches. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.